Matthew chapter 24. We're looking at the Word of God tonight. And let the Bible clear up some simple things for us tonight. That's the best way to do it. Just let the Bible speak for itself. It'll show you all the things that you need. And tonight we're going to look at Matthew chapter 24. And I'll preach to you tonight on the end of the Great Tribulation. We've been looking at the Bible prophecy and end times things and stuff like that. We want to get down here to the end of it. And after the 7-year tribulation, he points out in Matthew chapter 24. And one thing you've always got to be clear about when you're looking in the scriptures, who's talking, who are they talking to, and what are they talking about, why are they saying it, and you look at all that stuff. Every false prophecy I've heard in the Bible about the end times comes from applying this chapter and the next to the Gentiles. Every one of them. Whether it's mid or post-tribulation or whatever, amillennialism, all that, comes from taking the Jew out of the equation here. The Jew is the main part of the equation here. Because Jeremiah chapter 30 verse 7 says the great tribulation is the time of Jacob's trouble. Jesus Christ in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 raptures his saved people out of here at the beginning of the tribulation. And then 7 years later, we're right here in verse 27. Says, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately, he says, after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now notice he's coming. He's already pulled his church out of here, and now this is his second coming. And verse 31 says, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And we're going to read in a little bit the some events that happen right as he comes. But the reason we know that the rapture of the church happens is pre-tribulation, and it's literally in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, is nobody knows it's coming. That's why God sends a strong delusion to people that's heard the gospel, that's heard how to be saved and turned him down. And right after the rapture of the church, he sends them a strong delusion, because if he does not, they'll know the day Jesus is showing up. Right. They could count it to the calendar day when he's coming. But if you look over in this same chapter, verse 43... or verse 42, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for as in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. So what we find out is that the Bible has made it plain, very plain, that he's taking his church out of here, and at the end of the tribulation he's coming back and he's paying all debts. When it says there at the bottom of the verse 31 down there that he shall gather together his elect from four winds of the end of heaven to the other, he said he's going to do it with a great sound of a trumpet. That's not the rapture. That's victory call right there. Amen. Hey, listen, he's letting them know, hey, we've got it's done. We've got it. And the great sound of the trumpet is for the Jew. The voice of the archangel with the voice and all that, that's for the Gentile over there in 1 Thessalonians 4. This one's for the Jew. And all the rest of the saved people, he's going to gather them all together for a reason. He's going to base his headquarters out of one place. And that's the one place that every Muslim, listen, the Russians would like to come get it. The Chinese would like to come down and get it. And they're going to try. And still that real estate God promised to Abraham, and he's going to get every inch of it that he's supposed to have. There's going to be a throne there that's going to be the throne of David, where the King David's throne is. He's going to occupy David's throne as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's going to sit there and he's going to rule and reign this earth from that place. And when he gathers all his elect there, that's when he's going to point out who gets to be over what. I say this, Arkansas didn't have a good governor back in the 80s and 90s. I believe they're going to give it to our missionary out there, Brother Mitch, here for long. Amen. Brother Taylor's going to listen to that pastor there. He's going to get to be that one. Hey, you reckon it'd be funny if Ronnie Waters got to be governor of Georgia? I think it would be. I think it'd be great. I don't even know what they've had down there, but I know what flag they took off their flag. I think it'd be great to get a man of God back in there that won't bow to the political pressures of people. Amen and amen. Amen. And God knows anything we get's an upgrade, so say amen right there. Amen. And I noticed as we look on down this passage, we see this. Look over at the book of Jude. The book of Jude, back there towards the book of Revelation, the book of Jude. I want to show you all these things. The first thing, listen, that's going to be on the mind of the Son of God when he returns is Christ comes to execute judgment. He comes to execute judgment. The Bible tells us, first and foremost here, if you'll notice, in Jude verse 14... says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against who? Him. When he convicted Saul of Tarsus on Damascus Road, he said, why are you going after me, Saul? Why are you attacking me? He said, Lord, who are you? He hadn't attacked Jesus that he knew of, but he had attacked his church, which is attacking him. He said right here, he said all this stuff they've done against him. All the dirty, filthy jokes they've told on him. All the times they've looked at the church and called them hypocrites, and there was good people in some of these churches. And I'm not taking up for a bunch of lousy church members that don't act right. I'm talking for the good ones tonight, and I stand where you stand. I don't think everybody at church is bad, just like I don't think everybody at Walmart wants to go to Target. Say amen. But I know this much. I know that God is my witness. Christ is coming to execute judgment. And he says it three times. Ungodly, ungodly, ungodly. Look at him. He says this in verse 15. He said to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their, watch this, ungodly deeds they've ungodly committed. Hey, listen, all that stuff has been done. All that sin has been done. All of it's going to be brought back right here. All the payments are going to be made. Hey, payday may not be Friday, but payday's on the way. Because when the Son of God comes, hey, listen, he's going to take care of all that crowd that's been doing all these things right here. When he mentions Enoch over there, Enoch also the seventh from Adam prophesied. Hey, do you know Enoch's a picture of the rapture of the church? Hey, when Enoch got taken up out of here, listen, the Bible said he was not, for the Lord took him. Hey, let me point out to you that after Enoch, what's the next thing he points out? Judgment's coming. After the rapture of the church, 7 years later, Christ is coming back in glory. He's coming back with his angels. He's coming back, and he's going to set the thing straight. And he's going to take care of everybody that's attacked him. Yeah. People need to be careful how they go against the Son of God. I'm going to read you a verse here. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It says, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. God help us if what's going on now, the Holy Spirit's holding back the majority of it. Wait till he's taken out of the way. And the Bible says, and then that shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to take care of it when he comes back. I'm glad, thank God, the devil's got his day coming too, because I'm sick of him too. I'm sick of how he's acted towards people. I'm sick of how he's turned people against people. I'm sick of how he's deceived people. I'm sick against him till I'm about sick to death of him. But I know this, his bills are going to be paid as well because the Son of God's coming.
Right.
If you're turning your Bibles over to Zechariah chapter 14, if you've got a Schofield Bible, that's page 978. 978. I know y'all got to memorize and know where they at, but I'd just like to be of help where I can. Christ is coming to execute judgment. And then secondly, we can safely say this, Christ will stand on the Mount of Olives over there. The Bible says in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1 says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and the half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Now watch this. This is a dual prophecy. This already happened. Verse 3, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And on the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be very great valley, and half of the mountain shall be removed toward the earth, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach into Azel. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. This part hadn't taken place. They got scattered in verses 1 and 2 up here. But here recently, in the last 60 years, they've come back and they've got a nation over there. They keep trying to take land from them and give it to these Muslims over there. And they're trying to take away all this stuff. But yet he's going to bring it all back. Right. And did you notice the wording there in that last part of verse 5? He said, the Lord my God shall come and all saints with thee. Right. Isn't it something in the Old Testament? All of a sudden we got a clear prophecy there that points out the Son of God's coming. God in the flesh. God manifest in the flesh. The fullness of the Godhead bodily, the Lord Jesus Christ, is coming. And we're coming with him. Yeah. And he's coming to put his feet on the Mount of Olives. And he's going to stand there. Do you know why of all places he's going to stand there? Because that's the very place everybody wants on this planet.
Right.
I've heard people say, well, there's not a whole lot of oil over there. There's something about that place that the devil wants it. You know why he wants it? Because he don't want them feet to be put on that Mount of Olives, because he knows when them feet touch that, he's done.
Right.
I noticed that he will return, according to the Bible, as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you look over in Acts chapter 1, he gave the command to his church to do one thing while in his absence. Occupy till I come. He tells us to be witnesses for him. He said, listen, he said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. He said, do all these things, and he ascended into heaven. And listen, he's going to come back just like that. In verse number 11, it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. What we find out is the way he went up is the way he's coming back. And listen, he didn't leave from the United States to go up there, and he didn't leave from South America to go up there. He left from Israel to go up there, in particular in Jerusalem, and there's where he's coming back. He left without the city over there the first time. When he comes back, he's coming back to come marching in the front gate. They tell me that there's a Muslim graveyard built over there, over the top of those gates, but that's not going to be no problem, because when the king shows up, they're going to sing Swing Wide the Gates, and them gates are coming open, and they're going to knock out whatever's in the way of them. I'm glad to know today that he's able to do all this and much more. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19. The Son of God's coming, and he's coming to take care of all the debts. Everything's going to be paid in full. In Revelation 19, when it describes the second coming, this goes along with Matthew chapter 24, verse 29 through 31, Jude verses 14 and 15, Zechariah chapter 14, verse 3 through 5, and all this. It all culminates right here, he says in verse 11. It says, and I saw, Revelation 19, 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. I noticed that there's a pale rider on a horse, and a pale horse comes earlier. He's got a bow and no arrows, but this is the king coming. That first one's trying to mock and imitate the king. This one is the king.
Right.
It says in verse 12, his eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. All them many crowns are taken up in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where we've been raptured up. We're there, and as we get there and we walk in, and there the judgment seat of Christ will take place. And everything we've done for him will be put through the judgment fires. And it'll either come out wood, hay, and stubble and be burned up because it was selfish stuff we did for ourselves, or it'll come out as gold and silver and precious stones. And beloved, every crown you've ever seen, that's what they're made up of, is gold, silver, and precious stones. And I can see us all getting those crowns for the things we've done for Him. The gospel tracts we put out for Him, the souls we've won for Him, the missions money we gave for souls to be won, and everything we've done for Him. Every toilet, hey listen, every toilet we scrubbed for Him, every blade of grass we cut for Him, every day on the job we did for Him, it all gets rewarded then.
Amen.
And thank God He says this. He said He had on His head many crowns. We're going to take them crowns when we get them, and we're not going to put them on our unworthy head. We're going to come up there and lay them at the King's feet. And in Revelation chapter 5, it describes how they're casting them crowns to Him. And the reason being, there's not but one King.
Amen. Yeah.
That's Him.
Yeah.
I don't know if Michael Jackson's in heaven, but I know this. If he's there, there's only one King still.
Come on.
Elvis is in heaven, by the way. And there's still only one King, and that's who? Jesus. There's just one. The Bible tells us here, now watch this in verse 13, He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. That's why Him and the Bible are so close together. The Bible calls itself the Word of God, it calls Jesus the Word of God. He's the living Word, the Bible's the written Word. And it says in verse 14, and the armies which are in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I wouldn't want to be wearing that title when He showed up. I wouldn't want nobody calling me that when the King shows up. Because after the tribulation's over, He's coming in His glory. He's coming with all His people. He's coming. And the Bible tells us at the end of the tribulation, when He finishes His glorious appearing, there'll only be two kinds of people left on this earth. There'll be Jews, and there will be those who were good to the Jews. If you go back over to Matthew chapter 25, I'll show you this. He's going to divide the nations at that point in time. Sheep nations from goat nations. It seems we have a problem in politics where everybody's wanting to cut off that Jew. And for some reason, we still ain't cut them off. Now, ain't that something? It says in Matthew chapter 25, verse 40, and the King shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall he also, they answer him, Lord, when saw we thee in hunger, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, and in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye did it to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. What's going to happen is when Jesus calls this crowd my brethren, he's talking to the Jews right here. And listen, when he comes back, he's going to straighten out. Listen, he's going to take care of the people that took care of the Jew, but he's also going to take care of the people who were awful to him. Those people who had him killed, those people who turned their backs on him. He's going to take all of that and going to divide them up, the sheep nations from the goat nations. Now let me ask you a question. If everybody thinks that America's turning their back on Israel, here's something to think about. There is some nations left that's going to be standing with Israel. I don't want to go out on a limb and say we won of them, but we won the last ones left. And it would be just like the Son of God to do this, is everybody turn their back on Israel during the tribulation, some of them turn to them and help them. Somebody's going to do that. I don't know who it's going to be. I can tell you who it's not going to be. It's not going to be the Muslim nations. They have declared war against them since Genesis chapter 16. And they won't be set. Listen, nothing will satisfy them people until the day they die themselves. Because if they were to wipe out every Jew on this earth, they'd go after the blacks. And if they wiped out all the blacks, they'd go after the whites. I mean, they don't care. Those people, and once they get the whole world eradicated of every Jew and every Gentile but them, you know what they're going to do? They're going to turn on each other and kill each other. They're always going to be like that. They can't help it. They were born that way. Listen, when Abraham heeded the words of his wife and did that, it brought a judgment on this earth. Now, I want you to notice something here. He says over here in Matthew chapter 25, when he goes through and describes all that, there's a day coming at the end of that tribulation when he's going to divide all this up and take, he's going to get them sheep nations, he's going to get them and tell the rest of them to depart into the everlasting fire. And my friend, when we pick up in the millennial reign, we find out something. We start off with a clean slate. He's getting rid of all the bad people. Isn't that something? Now, let me ask you this. What if he comes right now? What if he pulls his church out of here right now? The latter group of people that's left here on this earth right now that's worshiping the Lord, that loves the Lord, that are saved people. I mean, listen, we'll go in the rapture, but will everybody go? Everybody won't go. Because there's some folks that ain't saved. They just need to get saved. They flat out need to get saved. Quit playing church. Quit playing religion. Quit saying the man upstairs. And come to God Almighty in repentance and faith and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for you, died for your sins, bled and shed his blood that your sins might be paid for and that you might be in heaven with him forever. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.